from tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Sunday morning, March the 17th, 2013. Richard Tate is speaker of the morning here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, teaching on It's Good to Know the Voice of God.
Praise the Lord. It is a wonderful, wonderful day. Great day to be alive. Amen. Woke up this morning, I thought, hallelujah, I'm alive. He gave me one more. He gave me another day. Well, I had two or three messages that I really wanted to deliver, and God says we're not doing that. So we're doing something else, more or less. In Hebrews 1:1 it says, King James, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. We're living in a day that's perilous. I mean, I don't think that's being a doomsday prophet. It's perilous. The world thinks it's perilous. So I think the church is all right to say that now. Before, they always called us kooks. But now they're beginning to see that, you know, that we're all in the same boat. It is perilous. And I haven't been watching the news lately. I just haven't been watching it much. But I know there's a lot of things going on and, you know, there's a lot of conflict. And the thing is, you know, we have to look at it and say, well, they don't have the resources we have. They don't have someone who can advise us. They're advising each other, and they don't have a clue. And things are beyond them. They can't fix things. They can't. They're just trying to somehow maintain things. Nobody's trying to fix anything anymore. Just trying to keep it together so it doesn't completely collapse. You see that. They don't know what to do. They just don't have a clue. Well, we don't either. But we know where we're going. We know who does have a clue. And He gives us peace inside of us. And if we keep that peace, we're all right. And if we let it go, then we're in the same boat they're in. You know, we're not doing any better than they were. I'm concerned, and I'm going to talk about that this morning some, by the number of people of God who do not know the voice of God. It scares me. Because of the day we're in. We're coming to times when that's all you're going to have. You can't, you know, guarantee you're going to have your brothers and sisters with you, or a Bible or anything, you know. And memorizing Bible verses doesn't do it if you don't know the author. It's sad, because that's what He called us. You know, He didn't give Adam and Eve a book. He spoke to them. They didn't say, God, are you up there? He spoke to them. He initiated the thing. And He's never changed. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to Him. Praying is talking to God. It's not reciting prayers and stuff. It's talking to Him, conversing with Him, and then listening. It's not giving Him our little prayer list, what we need. You know, He knows what we need. It's communication, and out of that can come fellowship. And we can get to know Him, and He can get to know us. So we already know this. Well, there's a lot to that. I have some messages in my heart that's going to come out and just going to blow me away. Because we just don't have a clue what's really going on. And the other thing is about the great number of people who are asking the question, how do you know the voice of God? Now, I can get that down at Walmart. But I hate to get it at the Super Duper Overcomer Church. That's what scares me. I go into these places, they got the big sign, we're super dupers. And they say, how do you know the voice of God? I'm saying, good gravy, we're in trouble. You know? My question is, how do you know the voice of the enemy? And I don't like to use the word devil, because I don't like to give him that kind of credit. I just don't like to give him any recognition. The enemy might be him, or one of his henchmen, or whatever, but it's not identifying him and giving him. He loves attention. You know that? He just loves it. He doesn't care what kind of attention he gets. He loves the attention. Because he said, when I'm getting it, God ain't getting it. That's an interesting concept to think about. When he's getting the attention, God is not getting it. I've said this many times, but Judson Cornwall, they had this thing. They were casting out everything before services started. He said, we ward for about a half an hour. And one day the Lord said, you know, if you try giving me the time you're giving the devil in the beginning of your service, you might find it goes a whole lot better. Well, he would say, well, we ought to watch. Just try it. Try giving me that opening time. Don't make him preeminent in this place. Try giving it to me first and then see what happens. Boy, he said, change the services. It's amazing. People got started smiling. He said, I had them so down, you know, I had them so down and out in the beginning. The rest of the service, I'm trying to pull them out. And he says, you know, it just wasn't working. And I thought, you know, so many times we do that. It's amazing. We don't know the voice of God. We know the voice of the enemy. Boy, you find them up and down. And, I mean, all over. It's amazing how many people, I don't know how God, but boy, they sure do know the voice of the enemy. They know. Well, it's good to know. But you know, in the bank, you don't find out about how counterfeit money works by looking at counterfeit bills. You get it by looking at the real deal. If you know the real deal, no matter what comes by, if it isn't right, you know it. You don't know why. You don't care why. You just know it's not the real thing. The problem is we're so hooked. Come up there a bit. We're so hooked into the voice of the enemy that we don't know when God's talking to us. And he's a deceiver. You know, he comes as an angel of light. And once we get hooked into that, boy, I've been there. Listen, I tell you, hunger can, you know, hunger's good, boy, but I'm telling you, when you're starving, it's dangerous. Dangerous. It's dangerous to get in a place to where you're starving for God. I remember climbing walls. I remember the first time Ken and Annie ever came to our house, about 73 or 74. And, that's 19. Anyway, just trying to get that in. Anyway, I'd been in meetings, but I wanted in there. And I'm clawing the walls. And Annie says, Richard, and I'm the head of this place. Richard, you're striving. I knew I was striving everything I could. I want to get in there. She says, you never get there that way. You've got to relax. Just relax and set your mind on him and let it happen. Don't make it happen. Let it happen. Well, I still struggle a whole lot. Because it's just hard not to when you're hungry. But when you get too hungry, see, not only will you strive a lot, you're open to a lot. You're open to a lot. You know, you got a guy out in the desert been out there 2 weeks ahead of water. When you give him the water, you'd be very careful how much you give him. But if you give that bottle to him, he'll kill himself. I'm going to give you an instance, a worldly instance. 1958, I was in a bar in L.A., drinking, of course. And these two guys came, big old bodybuilder guys. Now, this is before air conditioning, okay, folks? They didn't have air conditioning cars. You're glad it ran. That's how that was. And they came in, big guys. I'd never seen a weightlifter. I saw the Charles Atlas ads, but I'd never seen a real weightlifter. But these guys, you could tell, they were like maybe 6 foot, 6 foot, big guys. And they sat down, and they grabbed two glasses of beer. And the first guy, the other guy just, and he did that and drank it up and went right over backwards, bam, to the floor. Couldn't figure out why. They just come off the Mojave Desert, no air conditioning, and he would just dehydrate, whatever you do. And when he took that cold, hitting it and just keep pouring it, just took him out. I mean, knocked him cold. And that taught me something. Now, at that time, it didn't teach me anything, that's for sure. But it taught me something. It's not good for you to drink fast when you get too thirsty. A better concept, don't get too thirsty. See, that's what it really taught me. Don't get too thirsty. Why do you get thirsty? Because you're not drinking. Why aren't you drinking? Because you're not getting a place where there's water. You're not doing it. You're saying, fill my cup. Jesus said, well, I ain't filling it over there. You got to come over here. I'm not coming to you. You got to come to me. But see, we're so set on him doing for us and other people doing for us. You know, make it right for me. Well, do we know that here? Make it right for me. Here, I'll be all fine and I'll be fine and dandy. You know, I said, there isn't any shortcuts to where we're going. There just isn't any. There's no shortcuts to holiness. There's no shortcuts to spirituality. There isn't any. It's hard. It's drawn. He brings all kinds of things, and the enemy brings things, and God brings things, and And Job said, yeah, the enemy might bring him, but God initiated everything. You never saw that. You never saw the enemy come in there with Job and say, hey, God, I want to do something. He never did. He was always minding his own business just there because he didn't know power. He had no authority, no right. And then God would say, how about Job? Because he's looking to change Job. He's not looking to do anything for the enemy. He's looking to change his people. Because he doesn't want us to be with him in the shape we're in. You know? I mean, tell you, God instituted authorities and powers, and he instituted levels. So I got a pretty good idea. If he did, they must have some up there somewhere. And what's happening here is going to decide where we are in that picking order. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be known as one of the saved of the nations. If you look in the Bible, they have a little distinction there between the people that actually live in Jerusalem, the people who live in Jerusalem, and the rest of them. I don't want to belong to the rest of them because I firmly believe that we all have a shot at living in the holy city. But we'll make the choice. And a great deal of it has to do with whether we know him or not, really know him. Whether we're having fellowship with him. It's expensive having fellowship with God because he's looking to change us. You know, he wants us closer to him. He's a holy God. So he's, you know, we're not in a rapture, which I believe in. This timing, I think, is a little separate on some people. But we're not going to change. The body's going to change. But he never said anything about you're going to become super spiritual on the way up. Some people ask me about this funeral thing that we're doing, you know. What happens if you get your cremation thing all figured out and the rapture comes and I just told him, I'll just stop by and pick up my refund on the way. I'm going to get my refund. I said, what difference does it make? I'm not going to be worried about my refund. But it was so silly, you know. You shouldn't make preparation because you might make the rapture. I said, well, that's good. If I go, fine. If they go, nobody goes. But I'm preparing. I'm preparing, if the train doesn't leave as early as people think it's going to leave, I'm preparing to stay here and go through it. Because, it's not so much for me, I find, as it is for those who can't help themselves. You know, there's nothing you've gone through that God can't use. No matter how horrible it's been, there's somebody out there that's going to have that same shape, only can't get through. You're here because you got through it. Somehow, God pulled you through, got you through it, and changed you to where it no longer ruins your life. I would hate to go through that again, but I know it can't get me because I've been through it. I've come out the other side. But there's people out there, believe me, who are in it, who can't get out. They need someone to come alongside of them and help them. And that's why we're here. For others. We went through that in our church for a long time, you know. I just saw it was getting too concentrated on us. On us being spiritual, on us getting our needs met, and all that stuff. Boy, finally I said, you know, I'm going to bring a word in this church, and we're going to live with it for a while. And it's O-T-H-E-R-S. I don't want to hear about us no more. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear about others. We're sitting here, fat and sassy, and there's people out there starving. I said, and some of them are starving naturally, but there are a ton of them are starving spiritually. And they don't know it. And they want it and can't get there. They don't know how to get there. They don't know where it's at. How do you get there? How do you know the voice of God, they ask you? And I'm talking about sinners asking, well, how do you know that's God? Well, I can give them an answer. It's difficult when a Christian asks me that. It's difficult. I'm saying, you're supposed to know. You shouldn't be asking me this question. You're supposed to know. What are you living on? What food are you eating? What nourishment are you getting if it isn't coming to God's system? One of God's names is the many-breasted God. Did you know that? One of his names. He's a feeder of his people. He doesn't give us box lunches and sandwiches and say, go on your way. He feeds, he breastfeeds us, really. It's personal. It's personal what he does with us. And I'm really tweaked this morning because it's been so heavy on my heart. I'm running into people all over. I'm saying, good gravy. You know, tell me how spiritual they are, and we start talking about anything really serious and just don't have a clue what we're talking about. I'm saying, goodness gracious, you know, we're going to go through some stuff here. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty at all. But the glory is going to be great, but I'm telling you, if you're not sure who you're going through with, the glory is not going to be great. All you're going to see is, you're going to see the other side. how infuriating it's going to be to the enemy and how he's going to retaliate. But the people who are wanting and understanding what's going on, the glory, like Annie said, the glory is going to be so great, it's going to be deceptive. It's going to be deceptive. It's going to be so heavy that it's almost a deceptive. Because the more the glory comes up, the more enraged the enemy gets. He says, but you know, I control him. I say thus far and no farther. And he cannot cross that barrier. And what he does, is able to do, is there to bring change in us. It's not going to do anything bad to us. It's going to bring change in us. And what's so amazing is we go through temporal things and God brings eternal changes. He puts a love in our hearts for people that we never knew existed. Puts a smile on our face. I tell you, when you get hit with God's love, you have a hard time not smiling. Doesn't matter what's happening. Well, some of you lovebirds out there know that, you know. Act like you're nuts when you fall in love. You just don't know what to do with yourselves. And so on. Alright, here it is. We are fourth dimensional people. I'm going to use that word. Fourth dimensional. I'm going to get away from being spirit beings for a while. We're fourth dimensional people living we're fourth dimensional people in a third dimensional body living in a third dimensional world. But we're not third dimensional people. We're fourth dimensional people. We have resources the world does not know about. We can see things that the world cannot see. I had a hard time with that. How come they can't receive spiritual things until I had this experience with my brother, who's an intellectual genius, for crying out loud. You know, he's a good genius, high IQ. He read third John and was so confusing, I didn't know what to do with himself. I just can't grasp that. I'm saying it again, it don't get any simpler than John 3, you know. It just doesn't get any simpler. Try 16, 17, and 18. That's what it's all. It's pretty simple. He said, I just can't understand it. And I begin to see, you know, that it has nothing to do with intellect or who you are. It has to do with the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. But we're not the natural man. We're eternal beings. We're fourth, and I like fourth dimensional because we all see it. We see the thing on TV where the spoon is being bent without nobody touching it and all stuff. And it's real. Them demons are just bending them and doing all that stuff. That's fine. The world's all fool about, you know, paranormal stuff, whatever it is stuff. They're all fooled by that stuff. But we're not. We know where it's coming from. But we have openness to God to show us things. And He does show us things. He leads us. He guides us. I think part of His problem is sometimes we don't want it. We get comfortable. And we just don't want to go any farther. We're just doing fine. And there's no more pain. You know, it's amazing how if somebody hurts us and we desert Jesus. I often wonder about that. I said, but that's exactly what we do. I get hurt by a brother in the church and I backslide. Well, who do I leave? I didn't need a brother. I left Jesus. I said, He didn't do anything to me. But I leave Him. I leave Him. And then when I get really spiritual, I pick up the word God. Oh, I pray to God every day. But boy, don't mention Jesus to me. Woohoo! That'll bring up some hackles. Thinking, how does that work? How do you reconcile these things in your mind to where you can get rid of one completely and grab another that really has nothing to do with this thing? It can't be the same God because you can't stand the sun. How can you do that? I thought, boy, oh boy, you know, when you really want to, when you're really trying to avoid something, your mind can really do stuff. You can do things with your mind when you want to. No matter what God did for those people in the wilderness, they rebelled. No matter what. Can you imagine? You don't have to imagine. You read your Bible. There's people that went into the promised land who had never known a day when the manna wasn't there except on Saturdays. Like I said. They'd never known natural provision. They were born in the wilderness. They were born with the cloud and the fire and the manna. And that's all. And their clothes never wore out. They never knew anything else. And yet they went into this land. And they went in there 20 minutes, and they were doing wrong things. You know what happened in the promised land when they started getting defeated? They stopped seeking God. In the beginning, God, what do we do? Oh, you go here and you do this. Okay, fine. Pretty quick it's, okay, let's see. We got enough. Oh, yeah, we'll just send part of the army up there. They're no longer seeking God for their answers, for their direction. They're doing it. And then it got so, fine, you want to do it yourself. Boy, he's told me that many times. You want to do it yourself? Help yourself, but I ain't going. So you're on your own. You'll do what you can do. And what you can't do is the stuff I do ain't going to get done. And they go up there and you see time after time after time where there were certain things they couldn't drive them out of the mountains because they had chariots. They couldn't drive them out of the mountains because they didn't want to go. These guys are too big. They left a remnant everywhere because they weren't seeking God anymore. They were looking at their strength, their numbers. Now, we're powerful. And put, of course, like we do, tag God's name to it, of course. You know, tag him right on. Sign his name to the check and just go do it. Because he said, destroy them all. Now, if God says, I'm going to give them to you, destroy them all, that's what he means. And if you do what he says, it'll happen. Saul knew that. He didn't learn nothing. Nobody learned anything. When he says something, you're going to do what he says. And it's not enough to take 99%. You're going to take the 100%. That 1% in the end will bite us. We just got a propensity to go that way. You know, that the natural man just wants to do his own thing. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. He never said, die to yourself. It's not in the scripture. If you can find it, I'd like to see it. He said, deny. See, it's easy to, I'm going to die to myself. Hallelujah. He said, how about denying yourself? Oh, what do you mean, deny me? Well, you know, when you feel to do something and you don't feel that little piece getting a little jiggly, how about just not doing it? Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Didn't say there was. No peace. Back up. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Deny yourself. Oh, geez, I'd much rather die. Sure, lay down in bed and die to myself. But that doesn't do anything, see, because after you deny yourself, you got to deny? Yeah, okay, now pick up your cross. Now you're going to pay. Pick up your cross and follow me. Okay, we're going to walk along. Oh, no, we're not walking along. We'll go up the hill. Well, why? Because that's where the cross always goes. You don't go anywhere but up that hill, and you get nailed to it. That's what it's all about. It says then we can have some resurrection. Without that, we just got religion. That's all we got. We got a lot of religion, and we're real religious. Boy, we dot the I's and cross the T's, but no resurrection. He said, that's what I'm interested in. That's what I want to bring resurrection life out of you so that it will touch, that life will touch people. Not you, but that resurrection life will touch them. It's there, and you ain't trying to make it happen. You don't even know it's happening, but it touches people. And you wonder, how did that happen? I don't have any idea how it happened. Because you sure don't feel like you're spiritual. But that life touches people. But it can only touch them out of that process. If that process doesn't happen, we end up with religion and tradition and a whole lot of stuff that's not life. There's a law, he said, in Romans 8, you know, the law of the spirit of life. Man, it deals with your motives, why you do your good deeds. Why did you put that money in the offering? Why are you helping that brother, really? Why are you helping him? Oh, I'm just doing what the Lord... Why are you really helping him? Well, it makes me feel good. Yeah, thank you. Just be truthful with me. Let's deal with the thing. Not that we're not going to do it, but I want you to do it because it's from me. Because otherwise, it's just part of the problem. We see churches today, it's scary. If you sit down there, if you divide the people into two distinct parts. And that's how I divide them. I don't care whether in the pulpit or on the bottom. They're either part of the problem or part of the solution. There is no middle ground. There's no neutral. There is no neutral. You one or the other. And it's sad that you see churches full of people who are not only part of the problem, they would not move no matter what. They don't want to lose their victimization. They don't want to stop being a victim. And I thought, boy, if that's not a controlling spirit, what is it? Because that's what it does. Look at Ahab. Poor me. Look at Jezebel. He was a victim. But he also was a controller. He got things done without lifting a finger. Oh, I'll tell you, that's a good one, huh? Oh, I don't feel... Oh, yeah, that guy went to land. But, and Mary, there she goes. There she goes. But you know one thing about Jezebel? She had to have an Ahab. She can't operate without one. Scripturally speaking, the first, when Ahab was gone, they threw off the balcony. She had no power. And when it says she made herself up, she wasn't trying to seduce Jehu. No. She was letting him know because She let him know, this is who I am, dude. And she said one thing. She says, well, there you are, you rebellious thing. Just remember what happened to the other guy that was rebellious, what happened to him when he rebelled against his master. And she quotes a name. And then he says, whoever's on the Lord's side, throw her down. And her two servants pitched her and she was gone. Now, the other one was Athaliah. That woman, she wasn't that way at all. That's the one you get scared of. When her son died, she said, well, I'll just be the queen. Well, you can't do that. Well, I can. Because he just had all her sons killed. All of them except one that was missing. One. She had all her own kids killed so she could have her position. She wasn't looking for anybody to make her powerful. She didn't need a backup. She didn't need anybody to help her. She was a doer. She was a doer. That's a scary one. We had a few of those in the church too. And then you get the New Testament, then you got that Jezebel that's deadly in the church today. Because she's a deceiver. She's deceptive. But she'll always bring the people into immorality, amongst other things. But it stood out there that she brought them in time. It's going to be all flesh in time. But first she seduces them, deceives them. And once they're caught, she can take them where she wants to. And we've got that all over the church. Oh, they're not in the pulpit. Don't have to be in the pulpit. The congregation is not behind the pulpit. The congregation is out there. And that's where you get them. It's harder to get you when you know the voice of God. But it's not cheap. It's not cheap. It takes time. You can't fret. You can't do like I did for so long, strive. You know, you can't. You have to relax. And say, God, I believe, and you have to believe this, that you want me to know your voice more than I want to know it. You really do want to talk to me. You really do want to communicate with me. You really do want to love me. Just sometimes you have different ways to love that I don't even recognize. You're trying to love me and I don't even recognize it at all. Because I'm tuned into what I want, what I think my needs are. It's amazing. I tell you to never say never. Boy, if that is not one that hits me in the head. I'm telling you, I got some experiences along that now. Some of them I won't even share with you. But I mean, I've said some things. I'd never go to Arkansas. Be the last place on God's earth you'll ever see my feet, ever. So where do I live? Where is home? The first home I can ever remember that I ever had in my life that I can say, this is my home, Arkansas. That was a wake-up call. It was because, you know, this, and I'm sick, I says, God, I didn't do this, you know. He said, no, you didn't. You know? Just, you're driving out there, and Mara says, we must be close to Yosemite. I said, sure, we're right down the road, you know. But I know where I am. I said, it may look like Yosemite. It may be so close to what I liked in Oregon and in California, but it's not. It's Arkansas. And I thought, why am I so at peace in this natural geography? And I'm not just talking about just here. I mean, just... I used to tell them, I said, you know, if we ever leave Lake Hamilton, I said, I'm not going to leave this area. I'm not there. I said, I love air. Huh? Yeah, I hope the ark don't leave. Anyway, but I mean, I like just driving around. Just driving around and seeing the trees. And I like that we have seasons. And it's wonderful here. Just wonderful. I hope nobody ever finds out about it. We have enough people here. It's just, yeah, I mean, it's just, now I don't know about, you know, up there where you, people told me, I haven't been there yet, where the planes start or whatever that stuff starts, like they have Nebraska, whatever the name of that place is up there, you know, where it's not trees and rivers and streams and everything. I don't think I want to go there. But this is just, it's just wonderful. And yet God says, yeah, it is, and I can deal with you there too. He says, the only thing is, you'd be smiling when I deal with you. Because you're going to be at peace. You're going to be comfortable. But you're not going to escape. Because I've got great plans for you, and in the shape you're in, it's not going to work. It's dangerous for you if I take you and use you in the shape you're in. It's dangerous for you. Might get all the work done. Whatever I'm going to do through you, I'll get done. He says, but it's dangerous for you because you're not ready. You're not prepared. I haven't been able to make enough changes in there to where when things come, you'll be steady and stable and not and not concerned. Now, I didn't worry about that, you know, for many, many years, because I knew who I was married to. And lots of times it was bad. I mean, it was bad in the sense that I recognized my wife for her strengths more than being a woman. And no matter how powerful a woman is, she's a woman. And no matter what you think, she's the weaker vessel. I don't care how you cut it. And there's times when you need to take her in your arms and hold her. And I did. Sometimes I missed that because I just saw her strength. I said, she don't back up from nothing. She don't need me. But she needed a hug. She needed me to hold her and tell her it's okay. And there's times when I missed that. You know, I mean, I've had to go through that. Especially since she's been in the nursing. I went through a lot of stuff from the past. I've had to go through it and repent and cry and feel so bad that I didn't do anything. And you know, she wouldn't even remember. But I mean, I remember times when I should have just took her and held her and she was going through something. But she's always so powerful. She had such a record of just going through it. Taking what they did, you know. She was a co-founder of this church in San Francisco that's still there. And then there was a brother and his wife and Mara. They left the assemblies because they had said they didn't want any more speaking in tongues and prophecy. So they left. They started a little fellowship in a home. And it was, as Mara said, it was 3 or 4 months, and the brother's wife was, and Mara were just like twins. But she started wanting to run things, and she still does to this day. Run things and push things, and Mara just couldn't do that, and she couldn't do it seeing what she was doing to her husband, how she was just overrunning him. She was running things. And he was a quiet man, except when he preached. In fact, all the brothers are quiet, except when they preach. And they yell and scream and jump up and down. But that's how that's the anointing in that particular place. And it's amazing. But anyway, that's how it is. And so Mara left. And, she didn't leave at that time. She withdrew from being so tight with them. And there was these four prophetesses there. And they liked her because she's a praying woman. So they took her in with them to be part of their little group. And they started gossiping. So Mara went to the head prophetess and told her, that's not right. That's how Mara is anyway. It's not right. You know, we're supposed to be some kind of spiritual people. And these two ladies, they're gossiping about people. And let it go. Oh, okay. Next Sunday, they're in church, Sunday morning service. Everybody's hallelujah. And the main prophetess gets up with her, got a prophecy out. There was a tongue, of course, from one of their friends. And her prophecy was that Mara has a... I mean, everybody knows her, huh? I mean, Mara has a black heart. Sunday morning, thank you very much, yeah. Mara's got a black heart. See, because she was offended, and she's trying to cover up what she thinks. She thinks Mara's like her and going to tell everybody else about what she told them. Mara didn't tell anybody. So she's going to prophesy against her, and that way it'll discredit her so that this thing will never come out. So Mara just took it. And then she got up, quietly went up to the piano. I'd have been shooting people. But anyway, she quietly went up to the piano, sat down, and began to play Amazing Grace. Never said a word. Just played Amazing Grace. And she said, I was praying, and I was just asking her, Father, will you show me my heart? Is my heart black? This is a prophetess that I've been with for some time that you speak to a lot. Is my heart black? And the Lord showed her heart that it was not black, it was pure. And then she got up and went back down her seat. And then that's when she withdrew from the place. And we used to go back and visit all the time. So when she's telling me, I'm thinking, this woman don't need nothing. There ain't nothing anybody can put in front of her that's going to back her up or bother her, or bother her at all. And because of that and some other experiences that she had, I just saw her in a different light. She was my wife, and natural things, we were all that way, and spiritual things too, except when it got down to when something happened to her, I just didn't treat her like a weaker vessel, because I didn't think she was. Because I was looking through my eyes. And we talked about this, Patty and I talked about this, but I was the woman at the well. What I saw naturally, that's what I took as it. She saw this dirty Jew, there, and what I saw was this real strong person. I didn't see a strong woman, I saw a strong person, and because I did, I responded accordingly. When problem comes to her, she just take it. Go on, because she didn't need any help. But I forgot that God said the woman is a weaker vessel. No matter how gung-ho they are, how domineering they are, whatever. It just doesn't make any difference. They're the weaker vessel, and you have to understand it. And there's times when you have to treat them that way, in a loving way, because they need that. I always remember that, they never made a house that could make me feel secure. Hugh Hefner's home would not make me feel secure living there. But I always saw women, if they had a house, they were secure. It was something about a home. If they had a home, I'm not talking about Christian, that was a woman, give me a home. And I'm okay, I'm safe, I'm okay. No matter how bad things are going, if I got my home, I'm okay. And I always thought, well, men, that ain't going to make me feel secure at all. I lose it. Who cares, I used to tell everybody, I said, I'm like Frank Sinatra. Any place I hang my hat, that's home, And I can go here, go tomorrow, doesn't make any difference. Next place, it's home. It's just home. But I thought, but with ladies, see, it's different with them. It's just, they are definitely different. I come to that conclusion. They are different. They're different. It's different. And, well, lots of times we don't recognize that. As men, we just don't. It's terrible when you see your wife as a person and not as a wife. Because you begin to treat her differently. You treat her as a neutral entity in lots of times and lots of ways. And she doesn't need that, and you don't need it either, because it's not doing anything good for you either. Because God put the two together to be one. I don't know how I got there. But anyway, it's good to know the voice of God. It's good to wait on Him. It's good to read your Bible and not try to dig something out. Just let it speak to you. You read 30 chapters. You read Psalms halfway through. Just read it. The Spirit of God's in you. He's going to say something. And it's not you. It's not your mind. I had a close friend of mine, and she knew the voice of the devil. I'm telling you, oh boy. But she thought, but he'd convinced her it was her. She'd get bad thoughts, and then he'd say, boy, what a sinful life you're living to have that thought. You couldn't have had that thought if you weren't that kind of person. Then she's repenting, trying to repent, and then condemned and everything. But I tell you, when it got to the voice of God, she didn't have a clue. But boy, she knew the voice of the enemy, and she thought it was herself. She just thought it was always her. I says, no! You can't stop that little fellow from sitting on your shoulder and whispering in your ear. But he's on the outside. He's not on the inside. It's not you. You're not the one. I said, do you normally think those thoughts when you have with the girls?
Well, no.
I said, see, it's not your normal thoughts. It's not you. I said, so he's whispering in your ear, and convincing you that it's you. And it's not. I said, because if you think it's you, the only place you can go is condemnation. You're guilty. I said, no. I said, and you tell him in Jesus' name, I tell him, go bother your own people. People say, how can you do that? I said, that's not a problem at all. I said, in Jesus' name, get out of here. Go bother your own people. Bother me. I don't need to hear from you. Just go take a hike. You know one thing? He has to do that. It isn't an option like he'll stay in or argue about it, unless you will argue with him. But it's not an option. I found out one thing. Either you have the authority, and it's not yours, it's his, or you don't. And if you do, you can pretty well say it and go on your way. And if you don't, you're going to be there forever. And in the end, you're going to be just like you were in the beginning. Nothing's changed because he's challenged you. A tape, and I'm trying to try to get on DVD with Pastor Youngie Cho was in Pensacola. He talked about that. And he talked about his war with the demons. And they were fighting over a person. And he said, the demon said, we can beat this guy because he's a green bean. Now, He said, he don't know nothing. He said, he's just a green bean. If we hang out, we'll beat that guy. Then he says, about 4 hours, he says, boy, but he says, now, he says, the demons are tired, and I'm tired. And he says, we don't know who's going to win now. But in the end, he won. In the end, he said, in the end, the Lord rose up in me. And it was done. He said, but I didn't believe, and I didn't know, and I didn't know what was going on. He said, so I'm fighting for all I'm worth. He said, I'm fighting. You know, it's not God in me. He said, and finally he got to a place, I think he was so exhausted he couldn't do anymore. And then God rose up, he said, and it was gone. Just like, boom. He said, the key is to let God come. Let God do the battle. Let God inspire. Let God move you instead of us trying to move on His behalf. Let Him move through us. But it's knowing His voice. They ask Reese, how do you know the voice of God? He says, how do you know your father's voice? I says, I come here. How do you know your father's voice? Well, I've heard a million times. I listen. It's something that you never get to where you're beyond deception ever. But you learn. Hebrews 5 says, you know, by learning, by experiencing, we learn to tell the difference between good and evil. Well, I just take that to the bank and say, get to learn the difference, to know the difference between God's voice and the enemy's voice. He's crafty. He's had me a few times. I mean, one time really had me good. I mean, it could have been horrible. But I was open to the Holy Spirit, even though I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was in the Holy Spirit. Because he doesn't come as a, I'm the devil. Well, he comes as an angel of light. He knows your weaknesses, and he knows your little soulish wants. And I'll use that word, not fleshly. Soulish. And so he comes right there and he appeals him. Oh, how about this one here? Preacher gets up and says, I want to share this revelation very humbly. He says, you know, nobody's had this for 1,000 years, but I have it. I thought, get out of here. Get out of here. Oh, yeah, I got it. I don't know why. I'm just humble, but I have it. Nobody else in the world has it. And it was in a church and it happened. You know, it isn't like it's something that I'm making up. It happened. If you, hallelujah, I'm saying, hallelujah, get me out of here. I don't need this, you know. I'm thinking, it's just amazing. Or like all these people that had other lives, you know, I lived in the past. None of them were ever kitchen helpers. I was the king of so-and-so or the queen of so-and-so. It's funny, all these people in their past life, none of them were ever the guy that swept the floor. You know, or a bartender, you know, they were always somebody great. Because, see, he knows us. He knows our wants in the natural. He knows our soulish desires. And he appeals to them. And then he makes them look real spiritual. Oh, you're going to do all this, and you're going to be spiritual. They'll recognize you only because you're so humble and walking along. And just, they'll know you because your feet aren't touching the ground. That's how they'll know you. I mean, it's laughable if it wasn't happening today. And there wasn't people sitting there listening to the, hallelujah, this is it. And going out as blind as they went in. It's scary because what's coming, man, you know, you've got no guarantee that you're going to you're not going to guarantee you'll be in the same cell. You know, you just don't have, there's no guarantee about that. Are they going to give you your King James Bible or maybe you're new in King James? They might give you a Koran if you can get something out of that. You know, everybody's, they're going to get theirs, but not us. Because, see, they're not the enemy. They're part of the problem. They are part of the system. We're the only enemies in the world. We're the only ones that said there's only one way. Muslims don't say that. They just say, we'll kill you if you don't go our way. You know, become one or we'll kill you. That's all. But they don't tell you it's the only way. Because they can't, because they came from Judaism, for crying out loud. You know, I mean, we can't say Judaism. But their roots were in Abraham. So they can't get rid of the Word of God. But they just say, you know, our way of the highway, our way of the cemetery. That's how they say it. But see, with us, we're the one threat, because we don't threaten people with death. We don't threaten them with harm. But we tell them there's only one way. And man doesn't want to hear it. He wants his way. But if you're not knowing the voice of God, he'll lead you into places to say things that will be more destructive. He'll drive you. And the Holy Spirit never drives anyone. He leads us. If you ever feel driven, and you can get driven by the voice. Oh, you got to do this now. Oh, man, I'm hearing from God. Hallelujah. Got to do it now. Well, I don't, now. If it don't happen now, it won't happen. If it don't happen now, something else will happen. And you're like, I've been there a million times. I'd say that I've been there a lot of times. Driven. I said, boy, I finally got to where I said I could put my foot down. Because it appeals, it's not only being driven, but it appeals to the flesh. You know, it isn't like driven in, I ain't going. It's driven like, okay, I'll go. Because it also answers something in here that wants something that's not, you know, not bad, but not of God. And it's scary. You know, I mean, you can know the voice of God and still go off, right? But you know then definitely you're making a choice. You're not being deceived and led astray. You are making a choice. You're saying, I'm going my way. We won't have this man to be king over us. We won't go this way. We won't listen to this. I know it's a word of God. I'm not going to listen to it. We're making choices. The other way, we're kind of being led around. And because of the flesh, we're in agreement because it's answering something in our soul that we really want. The soulish man really wants to be good. You're gonna take a lot of abuse. Oh, but they're gonna know who you are. Oh wow. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Well, they're gonna know because it's such a great ministry I'm giving you. Not because you're great. Well, you kinda have to separate that stuff, huh? It's kinda hard not to think, well, if it wasn't me, it wouldn't be happening. You know, they wouldn't even get this message. They wouldn't get this word. They wouldn't get this if it wasn't me. I'm just a hand. See, my hand is the hand. You know. Oh, it's the Lord. See my hand? We're just that way. I mean, we're prone to do that way. And that's why the Holy Spirit comes. He says, I'm coming to change it. So it isn't. So you don't see my hand. You're trying to pull back. You're really like Saul. You're really trying to hide. You don't want anybody to see what's happening. You don't want anybody to think because you know what's inside. I'm trying to change you so that thing's not there so you can walk in liberty. And you can read. I can use you and you can be my hand extended. You know, and I'm not worried about you taking anything because what was a taker in you is gone. I've taken care of it. But it can only happen with contact. And as much as we don't like the dealings with God, it can only happen through those dealings. But it's not because he doesn't like us, because he loves us so much. He doesn't want us to be on the third tier, the fourth tier. He wants us to be sitting right there with him. Well, we can't in the shape we're in. We're in the kingdom, but it's a big kingdom. It's a big kingdom. And there are a lot of places. There's a lot of villages. There's a lot of things. It says the nations of them that are saved. Nations, plural. Nations. We'll walk, listen. We'll live it. We'll walk in the light of the New Jerusalem. They ain't living there. They don't live in Jerusalem. They live out there somewhere. But they walk in His light. And they're saved and all that wonderful stuff. But He says, but I never called anybody to the outer court. I called them to myself. I want you with me. I want to be one with you. And they're going to be happy and wonderful. But see, it's not, you know, what my heart wants. This isn't what my heart wants. I wonder how come a lot of us can't seem to go back. You'll find people that are find a place in God, and it's in God, and they just become very happy there, and that's the place, wonderful. I get uncomfortable when I've been there for a while. I just get uncomfortable. It's like there's a drawing on, and there's a pulling me, and a dissatisfaction with where I am. Dissatisfaction with the sanctification process of my life. They say, you want to go to heaven now? Not I want to die. No. Well, I sure don't want to go there now. No. Because I know I don't want to be the person I am now there. When he says, oh, I can do so much more, and I can change you so much more, and you'd be such a person that I can recognize as part of the family. I can see in you characteristics of my son. Boy, that's what it's all about, huh? The father looking at you and he can see the family resemblance. Man, that's something to go for, huh? Where he looks at you and says, I can see that you belong to the family. Not by what you're saying, not by how you're standing, but I can see it. I can recognize some things that I'm seeing. It's part of our family line. You're in. What it must be to stand there and say, I don't see anything. I don't see anything there that would let me believe that you're part of the family. Well, Jesus did say in Revelation somewhere, I believe, be careful lest I blot your name out of the book of life. He did say that. That always led me to believe, once saved, always saved, might not be such a secure position. That kind of woke me up on that one. I says, whoa, what do you do with that one? And I says, you know, and then I says, and that might mean there's a lot of other positions ain't so secure either. What's secure is going on. What's secure is crying. God, I don't know your voice, but I want to. Can you slow me down, tie me up, do something with me to where I can at least get in a position to where when you speak, I can hear something. And then teach me to know your voice. I want to know you. I'm tired of knowing about you. I want to know you. What for? Well, I got all the reasons. You know, that's no good. See, then I'll be anointed. No, I want to know you because I want to know you. I just want to know you. And he just wants us to know him. That's right. That's right. Just hang out. Really. He likes to hang out. He likes to put people in his lap and hug on them. I like them southern things. He likes to love on them. I like that. Never heard that. Then the other one, what is it? What do they say? Instead of whatever, they say ever what. That's right. We're going everywhere. My son says, whatever. I said whatever, and they said ever what. And now we missed that, but I guess that's the way it is. I said, okay, I'll change mine. I don't want to be a foreigner. Because I'm trying to blend in. Yeah, because no matter it's California or Arkansas, it's all still in the flesh. It's still the same. It's still the same old ball game. Lord, I just pray, Father, for me and everybody here and everybody on the internet. You know, we wouldn't be here. We'd be out doing something else, but we're here because of you, and we're here because we love you. Now, what kind of love we have for you, that's debatable, and how much is debatable too, but the point is we're here because we care about you, and we care. We're not here because we're scared we're going to go to hell this morning if we're not here. Open our ears, Lord Jesus. We want to hear the Father's voice. Help us to be sensitive, not try to be sensitive, but to relax enough to where you can actually speak to us, and we'll hear it. Because we know you're speaking. We're just not hearing. Now, we're getting rid of not listening, because probably for a long time we haven't been listening because we didn't really want to hear what you had to say. But we're not doing that now, Lord. We just get all that stuff aside. Everything out of the way. All these little things that get in the way, get them out of the way. We just want to know you. We want a fellowship, a real fellowship with you. We want to experience your love. We want you to experience ours. Unfettered. Change us, Lord. Just change us. Move in our lives. Move in our hearts, Lord. And if we don't have a prayer, then give us a cry, Lord. And if we don't have a cry, then we're going to cry for a cry. Because you answer those kind of prayers. If we're serious, you answer those kind of prayers. You'll never walk away from those kinds of prayers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You never walk away from those kind of prayers. So do that for us, Lord. For each one here, for each one that's on the internet, Lord, they're not out there watching because, they just hit the wrong channel. You know, they're there because they want to hear what you're saying. Open the ears of each one out there, Lord. Touch their hearts. Bring them into fellowship, Lord, with people who are walking the way they're walking. People that are feeling what they're feeling. People they can agree with, Lord Jesus. If they're not in a body, put them in a body. If they're by themselves, give them someone to be with them that can encourage them and lift them up so that they can also turn and encourage and lift up, Lord. Do a wondrous work in these last days, Jesus. Let it just be an overwhelming work that's beside us, that we never instigated or made happen, but we just said, we're ready. We're ready. We're ready, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.